money is important. I mean, we can't deny that. But if we aren't careful, we'll believe that money is our savior and start to love money instead of God. And Jesus was very clear that we can't love God and money.
My friend, I want you to stop for a moment and really listen to these words. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. That's 1 Timothy 6, 6-11. Welcome to Champions Arise. I'm Foster Brown, and I'm with Kent Darcy. Today we're going to talk about a topic that is mentioned more in the Bible than any other. Can you guess? Money. And we're going to look at how money can impact our contentment. Please stay with us for this important discussion on Champions Arise.
Some say becoming a man is as simple as reaching a certain age. But at Champions Arise, we don't define manhood by a date on the calendar, but instead by one's personal choices of character and valor. Discover with us how to stand firm in the battle of life and allow Christ Jesus, the supreme model of manhood, to determine your motives and actions. Champions Arise is your program to succeed in what matters most. To learn more about Champions Arise, go to championsarise.org.
Kent, since God created us, He knows exactly how we work. Mm-hmm. So when Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be," that's not something we can argue with, is it?
No, none of us can say, well, you know, maybe that applies to him over there, but I don't have that problem. You know, the battle between having money and having contentment is one most of us fight. You know, today we're going to spend some time with the scripture you read at the beginning of the program, which was from 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 11. In fact, if you have a Bible, I encourage you to turn there. However, if you're driving, please don't. You know, for you guys, Foster, can you please read verse 6 for us?
Sure. This is, again, 1 Timothy 6, 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain.
Thanks. I'd like our listeners to really think about this question. If I came to you right now and had the power to give you contentment, what would it look like?
You know, that question sounds simple, but the more I think about it, the more complicated it gets.
Yeah. I mean, usually the first thing we think of is if all our bills were paid. You know, if the mortgage was paid, our credit card debt was gone, you know, the car bills are done, there's car notes done. You know, we think that if we were free from those burdens, we'd be content. You know, or maybe if we had a bigger house or a car or a bigger car or another car, you know, then we'd be content. But we've probably heard of people that have all those things. They have all those things and still aren't content.
Right.
Because contentment really is a work of the heart. And that reminds me of King David. You know, the historian Josephus says David, and I quote, excelled all other kings in riches. Yet he wasn't content to trust God. He did a census to see how big his army was. And we're kind of the same way. God has promised to supply all of our needs, but we live in a culture, particularly in the Western culture, where enough is never enough.
Oh, I know what you mean. It seems like we're always being tempted to want things that are bigger, faster, shinier.
Yeah. And the other side is that we're constantly tempted to be ungrateful for what we do have. You know, one of the Ten Commandments says, you must not covet your neighbor's house. You must not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female servant, ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. But it seems like we're immersed in a world that urges us to covet and be discontent. So our quiet time with God is essential for us to nurture a godly attitude and a content heart. Because if we aren't careful, there can be problems like we see in verse 9. Can you read verse 9, please?
Sure. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction.
Doesn't that sound terrible? I mean, plunge people into ruin and destruction. You know, but Lonnie Berger, the author of Every Man a Warrior, tells of a couple that lived these very verses. You know, the husband and wife's names were Jack and Karen, and they met in grade school and married in college. Jack became a lawyer, and Karen was working full-time as a receptionist, so they were making a lot of money. I mean, they bought a big house, ate out all the time, took long vacations in nice places.
Kent, so far that doesn't sound too bad to me.
I mean, actually, it sounds pretty good to me, too. There's an interesting side note. Jack's dad was really proud of him. I mean, he would brag about Jack's income to others and all the luxuries his son was able to purchase. So in Jack's eyes, he and Karen had arrived. And as a result, they deserved the nicest things money could buy. But Karen and Jack grew up in a simple farming community. And Karen kept mentioning that they were spending a lot of money. However, Jack ignored her because they could afford it. But as Karen reflected on their situation, she began to see that whenever Jack felt stressed, he would buy something. His wardrobe included 24 suits, 38 sweaters, 14 pairs of expensive shoes, and he had boxes of things he'd purchased that weren't even opened.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. She also knew that Jack longed for his dad's approval and that Jack's dad seemed to praise rather than caution all this extravagance. But suddenly things changed for the worse. And Jack and Karen found themselves with two big mortgages, large medical bills from an unexpected illness Karen got, and a minimum payment of $1,800 a month on credit cards.
Ooh.
And this was just too much for Jack and Karen's relationship. You know, they ended up hiring their own lawyers and filing for bankruptcy and divorce.
Just like verse 9 said, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction.
Yeah.
By the way, you're listening to Champions Arise. I'm Foster Brown, and I'm speaking with Kent Darcy. Today we're talking about money and contentment, and we've been looking at this issue through the verses found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. We need to keep moving here, but I can't get over the part of that verse that says many foolish and harmful desires, and Jack having 24 suits and boxes of unopened packages he had purchased sounds just exactly like that.
Yeah, it sounds crazy, you know, but we all have to be careful. In Jack's case, and in ours as well, it's the heart and our motives that are creating the problem, not the money. In this particular case, Jack also desperately wanted the approval of his father. While I'm not blaming his reckless spending on that, unless we're solid in our relationship with Jesus Christ, any number of factors can influence how we spend money. For example, we might spend money so we can get the approval of someone like a relative or even our wife. We might spend because, you know, maybe as a child we felt deprived because our parents couldn't afford to get things for us. It's also very common for us to repeat what we saw and learned from our parents regarding how money was handled. You know, if our parents were thrifty, we'll be thrifty. If our parents were spenders, we'll probably be spenders.
I also noticed that the items you just mentioned deal with the issue of contentment.
Yeah, that's exactly right. If we aren't content with the unconditional approval and love God gives us, we'll seek the approval of man. And if we aren't content with God's provision today, we'll try to make up for what we didn't have in our childhoods. And again, we're in a culture where money is held up as the savior of all our needs. And yes, money's important. I mean, we can't deny that. But if we aren't careful, we'll believe that money is our savior and start to love money instead of God. And Jesus was very clear that we can't love God and money.
And the love of money is a root to all kinds of evil.
Yeah. And that verse goes on to say that some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So what do we do? How do we avoid the traps this world sets up for us? Well, 1 Timothy 6:11 gives us the answer. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Now, there's two things here I want to focus on, flee and pursue. First, we must repent of and flee our bad habits. Are we impulsive spenders? Do we buy things against our wives' wishes? Are we digging ourselves into debt for frivolous things? You know, if so, we need to ask God for forgiveness. Then we need to take steps to avoid repeating the bad behavior. You know, in my case, I'm the impulsive one. So one of the steps we've taken is my wife keeps our spending money.
What? Really?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we have the money divided up by category, you know, gas, food, miscellaneous.
Okay.
But she holds the money because I tend to be impulsive if I have it. I mean, that works for us. Now, maybe for some of our listeners, you need to set up an agreement with your wife that you won't spend more than $100 or $50 or $20, you know, without discussing it with each other first. I mean, you pick the amount. You know, the important thing is you and your wife are in agreement. I mean, remember in our story of Jack and Karen, Karen was trying to warn Jack, but he wouldn't listen.
So we flee our old habits and ways, but what do we pursue?
Well, verse 11 says, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And we do this by having our daily quiet time with God. But because we are focusing on finances and contentment, I would focus my scripture memorization and meditation on scriptures that deal with finances, like Matthew 6:24, you cannot serve God and mammon. You know, Matthew 6:20 and 21 says, store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Or Psalm 62:10 says, if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. And Matthew 6:33 says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And a great scripture to meditate on is in Philippians 4:10, right through 13. You know, that's where the Apostle Paul writes about his own contentment.
Ken, we're approaching the end of the program, so why don't you give us a review of what we discussed today?
Okay. We discussed how money, having it or not having it, can make contentment difficult. Our focus verses were from 1 Timothy 6:6 through 11. They spoke of the need to flee the love of money and pursue godliness. Foster, I think it's important for our listeners to know that if they've made a mess of their finances, they need to confess this to God and ask his forgiveness. Then they need to take intentional, guided steps to change. God will honor a humble heart. It may take some time to correct things, but no situation is too hard for God.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Kent. I want to finish this section of the program the way we began it, with financial advice from the Apostle Paul. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness.
Champions Arise founder Edmund Speaker talks about the need for men of valor and character.
I had the privilege to have in my life great role models of men of valor and character. Today, saying that the difference between a man and a boy is the price of his toy stabs me in the guts. We can do better than that. Our families and our society are in urgent need for men of value who stand up for what is right. Our program will help men to do exactly that.
You can learn more about the Champions Arise movement when you go to championsarise.org.
Thank you for listening to Champions Arise, where men are equipped and strengthened to meet their God-given potential. Today we discussed money and its impact on our contentment. The material for this program is from lesson number 9 in the book Every Man a Warrior by Lonnie Berger. His book can be used by individuals, small groups, or in a class at your church. For more information on his book, or to hear this or any of our previous programs in the series, visit our website at championsarise.org. I'm Foster Brown with Kent Darcy. Thank you for listening to Champions Arise. May God mold you into the man he knows you can be.